Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, is Ireland finally waking up to the full breadth of harmful content on social media? And is the online safety code fit for policing it? As always, you can email the show, techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Later in the show, we will look at that mammoth case facing Meta in California. But I want to start this week's show with what has dominated headlines across the week, and that is that awful car crash on the M9. As you know, five teenagers died as a result, and three women and a child were injured. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of the human tragedy of it all, but it's safe to say that it left many of us shook this week. One area that has come under scrutiny in the wake of all of this is the posting and sharing of criminal activity on social media. I spent much of my week looking through various platforms at content of this nature, and it quickly became apparent to me just how widespread this all is. There are videos of teenagers breaking into cars, then showcasing how quickly they can go from 0 to 120. There are deep, cryptic captions on some of these videos, making the posters out to be misunderstood, complicated, and without fear of consequence. It's important to note that this content isn't coming from one small cohort of teenagers in Ireland. There are posts from the UK and other parts of the world. There are hashtags associated with these videos, making it easier to come across the content and for them to be picked up by a wider audience. This is not a new trend. Some of the videos I saw have been on TikTok for months. Now, again, I will state this is not just on TikTok, but it is predominantly on TikTok from what I have seen. It is most widespread on TikTok from what I have seen. I reached out to TikTok repeatedly throughout the week looking for an on-the-record statement. However, that didn't materialise. What they did say to us is that they are proactively engaging with Commissioner Mann on this matter and will continue to keep them abreast of measures they are taking. They are closely monitoring content related to this incident and removing videos and accounts that break their rules. They remove content that glorifies violence or promotes crimes that could harm people. They remove content that depicts activities likely to be imitated and that could cause significant physical harm, including risky driving. They continued by saying that between January and March of this year, of the content they removed for violating policies of violent and criminal behaviour, 99.1% was taken down before it was reported to them. They also said they work to limit the spread of content that could encourage unsafe behaviour, including through a combination of proactive detection technologies, human moderation and user reporting. Now, that all sounds great and that there's work being done actively on the platform, but even after receiving this information, I could still see videos of this nature on TikTok. I have reported them. I have sent them across to actual contacts I have within the company, and yet I continue to see them on the platform even today. I was on to Commissioner Mann and they said to us in a statement here at News Talk, Commissioner Mann has contacted TikTok to seek a full account of how they are dealing with these issues, including how they are dealing with reports of illegal content and how they are applying their own community guidelines. We are also looking for information on whether TikTok has introduced or scaled up proactive monitoring or additional human review of content or accounts. We are also inquiring whether they have reported any relevant information or suspicion of criminal activity to An Garda Síochána. We are also in close contact with An Garda Síochána on this issue. On Thursday of this week, Deputy Alan Kelly spoke to The Hard Shoulder on News Talk after it emerged that TikTok declined an invitation to appear before the Oireachtas Media Committee.
No, I believe it's a slap in the face to the Irish public. Like, the whole country has reached a threshold, a line in the sand as regards the activity of these people in the first place, the need for greater capacity from an Garda Síochána, but also the fact that this content, illegal content and dangerous content, is being shared online. And we wanted them to come in to give assurances, in particular that they would proactively make sure that this content would never be shared again or similar type of content. And very quickly they've come back, and the arguments for not to come in are spurious, to be honest with you. I mean, the idea that there's a Garda investigation, in relation to Oireachtas committees, there's many times there are investigations going on that can't limit the work of the public.
I've seen their declining of the invitation. I've seen it. And they said that because of the Garda investigation and because of review and investigations by Cumasún na mBan, that it wouldn't be the right idea. And they also said, because they aren't the only platform where videos are shared, that they don't think that they should be alone in the invitation.
Well, they are the platform of choice for many young people, overwhelmingly so, as we all know. So that is where the content is majoritarily shared. But I agree, it can be on others, other platforms. And, you know, if they want company, we'll invite in Meta, X and others as well. There's no problem doing that. But Commission a Man, as regards that, that's totally spurious, because I'm sure the regulator would have no issue with the Oireachtas, who we deal with, they deal with all the time, meeting with TikTok. And you know what? As chair, I'm going to be in touch with the regulator to ensure
that. So you don't think, Alan...
And finally, the Garda stuff is also spurious, because Garda investigations are ongoing all the time. In many cases, Oireachtas committees meet when there's issues going on. The Oireachtas cannot just stop in situations like that. Otherwise, for instance, the Justice Committee would never meet.
That was Deputy Alan Kelly speaking to Ciara Kelly after TikTok declined an invitation to appear before the Oireachtas Media Committee. Alex Cooney, CEO of CyberSafe Kids, is with me once again to discuss. Alex, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time. I feel that you and I have these conversations after the world and its mother catches on to something that we had spoken about previously. We know that online harm can mean more than just cyberbullying or porn or, you know, the things that might come to mind straight away. And unfortunately, it's taken this tragedy for the powers that be and the companies to acknowledge the reality of what's going on online on 2026.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is we're having these conversations more frequently. That's, you know, it seems to me this year particularly, there's barely a week that goes by where there isn't something. You know, it may not be at the scale and of this tragedy, but it is still a constant headline. There's been trials, there's been investigations, there's been the Grok AI scandal. You know, there's just been endless news around it. And I think we end up wringing our hands and saying, well, there's something wrong with this picture.
Mm. So you mentioned the Grok AI thing, and that nudification scandal was a great example of something coming to the attention of the powers that be and swift action being taken, which is fantastic. But as you and I said back in January of this year, content of this nature and the nudification using AI has been around for quite a while, and it happens on other platforms beyond X. A question I asked on Claire Byrne earlier in the week is, do we need to just stop for a second and lift the bonnet and take a look at what's actually happening and try and, not necessarily police, but put measures in place to protect all users, not just kids, before another tragedy or another horrific incident hits the front pages of the newspapers?
Yeah, I think what we have is a situation where it's always after the fact. It's always reactive. Something bad has happened. Something bad is happening. And we have to examine it. And I think it's the model. It's the very model that we have. You know, there is no other industry that gets this free pass in relation to its products. You know, toys, medicines, clothing, any cars, they're all subject to safety and compliance checks before they're allowed onto the market, and certainly before they're in the hands of users. So I think that in itself is a real issue, that somehow these products end up in the hands of kids with all the kind of the problems of the design, which, you know, obviously are certainly under the spotlight in these US trials, the addictive design, the persuasive design, the deliberate design choices are causing endless problems for society, but particularly for its most vulnerable members. And when you consider the access that children have, it is really breathtaking, the size of the problem. So we need to get more quickly to solutions, no question.
One thing that I was struck by, and you know, I said at the top of the show, I spent a lot of time this week on TikTok in particular, just looking through some of the hashtags that are associated with videos of dangerous driving and the stealing of cars, and let's call a spade, criminal activity. And I was struck by, I did three scrolls and all of a sudden a TikTok screen appeared saying, find more content like this, giving me alternative hashtags and keywords to look for to show me more content. That in itself is bananas to me, because I've had an awful lot of back and forth with TikTok this week. They constantly reinforced that, you know, they have their community standards. They do not allow criminal behavior. They do not allow things that could potentially cause harm to be on the platform. And yet not only was I seeing it with my own two eyes, their system was recommending other ways for me to get even more of the content that they're saying they don't allow on the platform. It's baffling.
It is baffling. Well, it is and it isn't. The design of the algorithm is so deeply problematic, and it's changed, over the years. So it used to be that what we saw was based on our friends, kind of who was in our network, and also on our explicitly stated interests. Now we have a completely different situation. It's whether we linger on something, it's whether we pause, it's not at all generally to do with, you know, who our friends are. It is much more what is being recommended to you based on whether or not you'll engage with it. And unfortunately, as we know, things like outrage and horror get more clicks and more interest. You know, whether we like it or not is a whole nother thing. And it also causes this rabbit hole effect. So as you said there, you know, you saw a couple of these videos and then you end up getting recommended more and more. And this is how, you know, users find themselves in these rabbit hole effects. And of course, it can be particularly damaging for children, especially when it relates to horrible content. You know, the number of kids we hear who tell us about seeing awful things online, you know, beheadings, torture, sometimes animal tortures, obviously sexual content. And then this sort of dangerous challenges, these awful kind of things that kids are getting up to get the likes. So again, we go back to the model. We've allowed this to happen over these years. We've talked about reining it in. We have European level legislation that says it's going to rein it in and requires companies to focus more on explicitly stated interests. But the reality is, how do you get them to do that? How do you make sure that they're doing it? And you know, what can you do to kind of make the change now rather than be subject to endless legal challenges?
And I know obviously a lot of the work that you do is related to young people online and young people consuming this, but I at 37 was uncomfortable watching it. It gives me that feeling in my tummy of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And yet all of the comments are, yes, bro, keep going, mad. And it's that celebration and the glorification of the content. And I have a fear that if you are, well, let's say 13, even though we know kids younger than that are on these platforms, if you are 13, 14, 15, and you're seeing this content, you're watching it because maybe it's thrilling, it's different, it's something bold and exciting and whatever, and then you're seeing that adoration, it is going to fuel this ambition in our young people to do this stuff, to get that notoriety.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is what you have to do to get the likes. And as you say, the thrills, the horror, the outrage, you know, this is, it's all about generating engagement and spending more time on the platform. And at what cost? At what cost to society? I do really think there are big questions at play. We're starting to see these questions come under the spotlight, as I said, in these US trials around, you know, addictive design. There are European level investigations. And that's all good and absolutely needed. But the reality is, it's still after the fact, right? The harm has to have happened before we get these investigations and these trials. And even then, the second they're announced, you know, the preliminary findings are announced by the European Commission or the outcome of the trial. And these companies are saying the same day, well, we totally disagree with these findings and we're going to fight it. And they've endless resources to do so. So yeah. I go back again. Why do they get a free pass on their products that no other industry does?
And this is something, now this is probably a bit niche, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. But obviously, you know, this story has been one that I've been working on throughout the week. And I first reached out to TikTok on Monday lunchtime, and I got a call Monday afternoon, and I found it intriguing, the interaction that I had, because rather than offering an immediate statement that just said, we're aware, we're looking into it, we're trying our best, or something like that, I was asked questions around the editorial coverage of this issue. I was asked for evidence to show that, because I basically said that I have seen it predominantly on TikTok, and I was asked for my evidence of that. I was asked to send across links. And I was really frustrated because I was essentially being asked to identify illegal activity on a platform that is worth much more than I'm worth, that has staff, that has let go staff in terms of trust and safety to do their job. And that's when my outrage really kicks in, because it's that arrogance of the big tech companies that just think, well, prove it. And even when you do prove it, we're not arsed giving you a statement.
Absolutely right. And a total lack of accountability. You know, we've had reported cases, and again, we've had to provide evidence of every single incident to get that content removed. Cases of awful bullying of a child, you know, where you've had to provide links related to every single thing in order to, and we provided the hashtag of the, you know, that was being used. And it took, I think, 8 days to get this content taken down, which is an unacceptably long time for a child in distress, you know. So I think, yeah, they have endless resources. They're letting go. I mean, this is the news also in the news this week, that there's redundancies at TikTok, that it's particularly affecting their trust and safety team. I mean, really, what does that tell us? Where, you know, why are those redundancies being made? And often it's to invest in things like AI, which again, of course, children are actively using without the safeguards. So, you know, those are other issues, but that's perhaps another day's conversation.
But let's try and focus now. You know, I played a clip there a few minutes ago of Alan Kelly expressing his frustration at TikTok declining the invitation to appear before the Oireachtas Media Committee. They cited that there's an ongoing Garda investigation, that Commissioner Mann are looking into it. But Alan Kelly's response to that was, sure, if we couldn't bring people before Oireachtas Media Committees that either had Garda or Commissioner Mann investigations ongoing, there'd be nothing going on in the Oireachtas Media Committees. This is what they're for, the Oireachtas Committees in general. So in terms of actually getting accountability from this company and getting answers to vital questions that are quite simply now life and death, how do we go about changing it?
It's very difficult because, you know, the TikTok declined the invitation on the basis, and they felt that they were also being unfairly singled out in this case, that, you know, this kind of content is on other platforms. But regardless, you know, that we know that it has definitely been trending on TikTok. So it doesn't matter in a way what's happening with other platforms. Yes, they should also face scrutiny for content on their platforms. But in this case, what they're basically saying is, no, we won't be subject to public scrutiny. You know, we'll obviously have to go with the Garda investigations and the Commissioner Mann's investigation, but those aren't public. So, you know, this was an opportunity to in a more public setting for them to answer questions. But then again, you know, we've seen these companies, and it's not just TikTok, sitting in front of these Oireachtas committees, and just when asked a very direct question about whether or not their products are designed to be addictive, they say no. But, you know, in a black and white, when they're asked to say it yes or no, what they say no. So, you know, to expect them to acknowledge either is the issue. So yes, we bring them in front of an Oireachtas committee, but are they going to acknowledge the major flaws in the design of their product?
And so this brings us to Commissioner Mann. Now, again, we invited them on the station, I think it was on Wednesday, and unfortunately there was nobody available to join us. But I do think this instance in particular calls into question the effectiveness of the online safety code. Having read through it yet again during the week, and gaining a bit of insight and understanding into how Commissioner Mann works, like, I do wonder, is it robust enough? Is it taking quick enough action? Because as you said, in the instance of cyberbullying, if you're the target of something, every second it's up is a second too long. In terms of harmful content like this that we know can have tragic outcomes, every video that's up there, again, is up there too long. So what's your thoughts? Do you think that the online safety code as it stands right now, as we're talking, is sufficient to tackle the scale and the breadth of the problem?
No, I don't. And actually, we just passed the 1 year anniversary. So it became into full effect. I think it was something like 21st of July, 2025. So, you know, 1 year passed. And I think we should question kind of what difference it's made. I know it's early days, but, you know, was it designed to really kind of give them the powers to make quick decisions and take decisive action? I mean, even with that Grok AI issue, it did not feel like it was quick and decisive at the time. It dragged on for weeks. Mm. You know, we still haven't seen the outcome of the investigation into it, you know, many months on from it. So I think that there were flaws in it from the get-go. The fact that they didn't have a time-bound takedown system, you know, so if content was reported, what we were lobbying for and asking for was that there be this very specific time in which they must do that, you know, be it 24 hours or 48 hours at a maximum, especially where it relates to a child. And they haven't set up the individual complaints mechanism, which was provided for within the legislation, which would offer users an additional channel. So, you know, if they'd reported something, say, to TikTok, and TikTok either hadn't responded or had come back with a kind of, you know, on the fence response, you could take that then to Commissioner Mann through an individual complaints mechanism and get a takedown notice applied if they agreed with your complaint. So this is all stuff that we hoped to see. But without that kind of time-bound takedown, it doesn't seem like a very powerful mechanism. So I don't have great faith in the system that we have at the moment, which is all after the fact.
So I always ask you this question, but are we feeling hopeful that change is going to come? Because, like, I have to say, by Thursday of this week, I felt mentally exhausted. And that was because I had spent most of this week with my head in my phone looking at stuff, knowing it was not only wrong and harmful, but also in some instances illegal. And I reported as many videos as I could. I sent more links across to TikTok, and yet some of those videos are still up now. So I did spend a bit of time with my hands in the air going, like, what do we do? Like, I feel helpless and hopeless. Where's your hope scale on the scale of we're doomed to, I'm sure it'll be grand at some stage?
Yeah, I mean, my hope lies in the fact that we are talking about it more. It is that I think there are very few people who would disagree that there is something wrong with this picture, to kind of go back to that. You know, that I think increasingly we see parents concerned. We see policymakers talking about it. It's certainly a topic in the media, as you've been saying. So I do believe we're increasingly recognizing that we need to address the problem. My kind of short term hope is that the European Commission, on the back of that special panel report, does something robust. Something along the lines of, you know, there's talk around, well, you know, social media plus, which is this extended definition and includes gaming and AI chatbots, should not have access to children unless they can prove their products are safe. So really, it is how does the European Commission translate that into action? Like, what does that look like? And is it going to be robust? Because what we have now, it just does not work. It is, you know, we have to prove the harm. The harm has to happen. We have to then, the regulator has to prove it. There's an investigation that can take time. And immediately the results are announced, as we've seen with the preliminary findings into both TikTok and Meta. The companies say, we're going to fight it. Then it's the legal challenges. We've seen with the Data Protection Commission, the same thing, that the endless legal challenges, the fines don't get paid. Several years on, nothing, you know, things don't change. So, I mean, the companies, of course, would say things absolutely have changed. We've brought in much greater controls and safeguards. It's just not enough. That's the reality. It's not enough. They're not transparent about what they know. That these deliberate design choices are so deeply problematic. So, yeah, my hope is a lot of it's riding on what the European Commission says in September. Let's hope it's significant. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair. Another hope, and perhaps one of them is listening now, but I would love to see some of our political figures and people who can really move the dial. I would love to see them talking about a broader definition of harmful content online. Of course, cyberbullying is an issue and remains an issue. Of course, access to adult material is a big issue for young people, and we need to address that. But as we have seen in the last number of days, and as I hope to continue to talk about, the definition of harmful content is so much more broad. And I think we really do need to have eyes wide open, not wait for another awful headline to come in as a push notification on our phones. Let's get talking. Like, if you want to reach out to this show, or I'm sure, Alex, you guys are constantly in contact with our politicians as well. But we're more than happy to showcase this, because it is a bigger problem than you might think.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're already in the presidency, the Irish presidency of the, now I always get this wrong, the European Union Council. Mm-hmm. So I do think we've an opportunity. There are a lot. We've got a big online safety event coming up in September. There's a number of AI related events. So, yeah, I think we need to make sure that where our policymakers are hearing us, and that, you know, they're willing to put their heads above the parapet and say, this is not good enough. We need better.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that is all we can do at the moment, is keep acknowledging what's out there, keep raising it. And hopefully, I don't know, hopefully some resolution will come before long. Alex, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts. TechTalk@newstalk.com. You heard Alex make reference there to the big, significant case in the US against Meta at the moment in terms of the addictive nature of the platform. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes' time. But I guess I've just found this week very frustrating working in the tech sphere, seeing the harmful content, knowing it's wrong, reporting it and getting diddly squat back. It's very, very frustrating and worrying as well. I also think some of the bodies that I've interacted with, and again, I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking about the organizations they represent, that sense of, you know, being untouchable or being bigger than me and what I am and what I do, that arrogance that comes with it is so mind-boggling, particularly in the context of the story that we are talking about. So things do need to change at a systematic level, from an attitude point of view, also from an education and awareness point of view. As I said a second ago, if you are a policymaker, if you're a politician, if you're a concerned parent, and you want to see the reality of what's going on online, maybe you don't know how to navigate these platforms, get on to me. I will find time in my diary to sit down and show you, because we are so beyond the point of going, oh God, I didn't know about that. Like, those days are gone. We know a significant portion of our young people, like the vast majority of our young people now, are online. A huge number of them are on platforms, even though the terms of service says you have to be on have to be 13 to be on the platform. We know people younger than 13 are on these platforms. They are consuming this content. It isn't all cyberbullying and porn. There's a whole swathe of harmful content that is there, that they are consuming day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute. And it is exhausting. And I know I sound really cranky, and I will cheer up, I promise, in a few minutes' time. But I just want to really hammer home how harmful the harmful content is. And it goes beyond just one definition of the word harm. And we, the grown-ups, have to be the grown-ups. We have to take action. We have to call it out. We have to put the pressure on to make sure that they follow through in terms of taking content down, in terms of investigating, in terms of asking questions, demanding answers, and then pushing for change, because it just can't keep going the way it's going. Anyway, right, okay, I'm going to go get a coffee, cheer myself up, and we'll be back in a minute when we're going to take a closer look at that trial against Meta in California.